With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
A fast-moving series of trade signals from the White House and key partners is resetting the near-term outlook for U.S. ag. President Trump says he expects a very fair meeting with China's President Xi on Thursday in South Korea, with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent adding that Beijing will resume substantial U.S. soybean purchases for several years and delay its new rare earth export licensing regime by 1 year. Chinese officials echoed a conciliatory tone, saying consensus was reached on tariffs, export controls, port fees, trade expansion, and fentanyl enforcement, positioning ag for a potential demand bump if farm commitments are inked alongside a separate TikTok ownership deal. Trump also said the U.S. is moving toward a trade deal with Brazil and is pretty close on a South Korean agreement, while Washington did unveil reciprocal frameworks with Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, and Malaysia. Southeast Asia packages keep baseline tariffs but carve out product lanes that could qualify for 0% reciprocal tariffs, with Malaysia pledging better access to rare earths and fewer non-tariff barriers. Cambodia's accord is the most liberal, dropping tariffs on 100% of U.S. industrial, food, and ag exports, opening immediate room for U.S. grains, oilseeds, meat, and dairy. President Trump says expanding U.S. beef imports from Argentina, though, could help bring grocery prices down. But USDA data shows America's beef inflow already depends heavily on lean trimmings from other countries. Latest USDA Ag Marketing Service report shows that during the week that ended October 18th, the U.S. cleared 26,903 metric tons of fresh beef for entry, bringing the year-to-date total to about 1.3 million metric tons. It's up 12% from the same period last year. Now, most of that beef comes from key lean suppliers used to balance U.S. ground beef blends. Australia leads with 20% increase at 464,000 metric tons. Brazil is second, 264,000 metric tons. That's a 39% increase. New Zealand, actually lower than last year at 194,000 metric tons, and Uruguay is fifth at 98,000 metric tons. They're number five on the list. Now, Canada remains the top overall exporter at over 577,000 metric tons, though its shipments have dipped 10% year over year. Argentina, while in the spotlight, remains a small player so far this year. Low prices and high costs don't make idling a real option, though, for most operations. Dr. Joe Outlaw, Texas A&M Ag and Food Policy Center co-director, says shutting down guarantees zero cash flow to service debt, payroll, and family living, while ceding global market share to competitors who would quickly ramp up output. Switching crops isn't a simple fix either. He says many crops now pencil similarly, thin or negative. Multi-year rotations protect soil health and weed control, and equipment and storage are often crop-specific. Outlaw adds that farmers are uniquely optimistic, planting with the expectation that weather, bases, and prices can improve by harvest, and the profession is an identity, not just a job. It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Today, the Prime Minister and I signed a major trade deal between the United States and Malaysia, and together we took part in the signing of a historic peace agreement ending the hostilities between Cambodia and Thailand. We're calling it the Kuala Lumpur Peace Accords.
President Trump over the weekend signing a trade agreement with Malaysia.
I once again want to congratulate Prime Minister Hun Manet of Cambodia and Prime Minister Anutin of Thailand, who had to return home because of the Queen's passing. This magnificent woman, known all over the world and respected by everybody. But this was a great achievement that she was very proud of. In addition to the agreement with Malaysia this week, we're also signing or nearing completion on trade deals with many other Indo-Pacific partners, from Cambodia to Japan to South Korea. We're delighted to forge richer partnerships on energy technology, artificial intelligence, critical minerals, and other industries. The United States is having its golden age. Last year, we were a country that was doing very poorly under a different semi-leadership. I don't even call it a leadership. But this year, we're doing numbers that nobody ever thought it was possible for any country to do. We'll be, at the end of my first year, over $20 trillion worth of investment into the United States. There's no country anywhere that's ever done anything close to that. The United States last year, for the 4 years, it was announced, did less than $1 trillion, and we're going to be doing over 20. That's quite a difference. I'd like to just say the United States is for you. It's committed to a free and open and thriving Indo-Pacific. My message to the nations of Southeast Asia is that the United States is with you 100%, and we intend to be a strong partner and friend for many generations to come. 1 year ago, we were in a different position, but now we're in the best position we've ever been. And I really do. I say it's the golden age of America, the golden age of the United States. Together, we'll create incredible prosperity for the nations on both sides of the Pacific Ocean and to seize new opportunities for all of our people. It's really been an amazing experience. I've been here for a day, but it's been an amazing experience to see some of the things that you've done. And the Prime Minister made sure I saw everything, every single thing. When I said, well, that's okay, maybe I'll take it easy for a little while, I said, no, I have other things to show you. We even rode in the car together, and he's something. But America's ties to this region date back to early days of our republic, when fearless Americans voyaged across the Pacific to establish outposts of trade and diplomacy here in Asia. Those bonds forged so long ago continue to strengthen and grow to this day, including here in Kuala Lumpur. I'm looking forward to speaking with many of you today and also at APEC in South Korea later this week, where we're heading. Once again, thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister, and thank you to everyone in this room. You are spectacular leaders. You are incredible people. Your energy, your genius, your everything you do. And I say it truly, everything you touch turns to gold, and you can be very proud of it. Other parts of the world are not like this. You're very special people, and it's a very, very special place. Thank you very much. It's a great honor to be with you. Thank you.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Well, grain futures, as of yesterday, at least we're starting out, overnights, et cetera, uncertain. But in general, we find ourselves these corn hanging around 420, 425, something like that. And then some carry in the market from 423, say, for Dease corn yesterday, 437, then to March, 445, to July, 451, and then you start to decline into the September contract a little bit.
It's Kansas State grain economist Dan O'Brien.
So there is some, I guess, in looking at the, where the futures are at and some of the carry you've got for farmers that are increasingly likely in a low price time to probably store grain this year. Then they're wondering at what, to what degree does this carry in the futures contract and the Dease corn futures contract complex, does that cover storage or not? And of course, right now you're looking at about 45 to 50% cost of full coverage for on-farm storage, again, 2.5 cents per bushel per month, 5% interest on that. If you knock the interest out, it gets a lot better. But do you really want to look at this without acknowledging that, hey, there's some, you'd sell cash and at least delay some interest on other borrowed notes. So you got that. For soybeans, we're still over $10 as far as November futures go, somewhere that we're kind of hanging out in the 1035, 1045 area. We would count 1050 as a major victory, and you've got political issues involved there. Again, still uncertainty about U.S. and China and how that'll all work out. In terms of cost of carry for soybeans, actually, you've got a little better situation for soybeans than for corn, really, in terms of coverage of cost of carry. You're looking at about from November to January, you know, about 70% of the cost of carry covered. That's for on-farm storage for soybeans. With a little, again, about 5% interest charge, but it starts to decline some, about 65% coverage then from November out to March, then to May, you've got about 60%. So it's interesting that there's a slightly better situation for storage of soybeans than there is for corn. However, I think farmers are probably more inclined to store corn than there are for soybeans, at least in Kansas situations. And right now, when you look at hard red winter wheat trading $5 or under, you know, looking for something to really change that mode. And when you look at the carry in that, you're asking the question, well, if you haven't sold by now, what are you holding? You know, how long are you looking to hold? Maybe they're looking to hold into spring. But you, from the Dease contract to the March contract, you've got about 17, 18 cents of actual price differential, covering about 61% of the cost of carry. So I think when you stand back and look at all these commodities and ask the question, well, are the futures rewarding me to carry anything now or not? Well, most of the time there probably would not be, because they're looking out there and traders are looking at price differentials at any one point in time. They're more inclined to be more upfront in their focus. If they did see opportunities for carry that were showing up in the long run, they would probably change their price bids, you know, probably raise if they saw opportunities out front for carry, they probably raise their current bids up higher because they see opportunities. So it's a fluid deal. And if someone is storing, which I think, you know, that's right where we're at right now, they look at current basis levels for corn, for sorghum, et cetera, recognizing that they're very weak right now in the midst of harvest, that they're probably counting on post-harvest improvement in basis bids as much as they are for futures going forward. That's from the farmer point of view, from the grain handler elevator point of view, who especially say for wheat and for corn, make a living from judicious choices on storage hedges, all of that. They're looking at basis changes probably out into the spring, transportation, et cetera.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Canada's been ripping us off for a long time, and they're not going to rip us off anymore.
President Trump talking to reporters aboard Air Force One.
Canada has been ripping us off for a long time. One of the most difficult countries to deal with has been Canada. As much as I love Canada itself and the people of Canada, they've just had a lot of bad representatives. They did a fake ad yesterday. They were caught. The Ronald Reagan Foundation was the one that caught them. And it was totally the opposite of what they said. So I don't like that. That's dirty pool. And you can't do that. And let me just tell you, they shouldn't have done it. And they've apologized, and they said, we're going to take the ad down. Well, they did it, but they did it very late. They let it play for another 2 nights, and now they took that ad down. So I don't know when it's going to kick in. We'll see, but I don't really want to discuss it.
Trump set to meet Chinese President Xi.
I don't want to tell you what the understanding is, because what we understood yesterday or 2 days ago or even today is not going to be necessarily what it's going to be in 2 days. I mean, we're going to have a great talk. I have a lot of respect for President Xi. I like him a lot. He likes me a lot, I believe, and respects me. And I think he respects our country a lot. And we're going to have, I think we're going to have a successful transaction for both countries.
Jamison Greer is U.S. Trade Representative and Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary.
Just a lot of details to work out. Very complicated deal. And I think we're very close.
Do you expect to finalize that on Wednesday, or will it maybe not quite be done?
I think not quite. But I think the overall framework is done. We're just getting the crossing the T's, dotting the I's. That's what Ambassador Greer's team does. And nobody's better at it than they are.
Mr. President,
you want to say something?
Sure. So with the Korea deal, there are a few parts to this. There's some national security-related issues, which are really not in my wheelhouse. Then we have some pure trade issues where they've had some non-tariff barriers to us for a long time, and we've resolved a lot of those, so that's great. And then there's another piece, which is really about investment going forward. The Koreans have a great plan to invest in U.S. shipbuilding even more than they've already done it. And so they're talking right now, frankly, about how to implement Korean investment in the United States.
And though not working on a trade agreement right now with Argentina, Trump congratulating President Milei.
I want to congratulate the victor, and he was a big victor, and he had a lot of help from us. He had a lot of help. I gave him an endorsement, very strong endorsement, and it was really unexpected to have a victory of that. People thought it would be hard to win, and not only did he won by a lot. So Argentina, that was a great thing. And I give Scott and I give Jamison, everybody, Marco, a lot of credit for that, because we are sticking with a lot of the countries in South America. We're focused on very much on South America, and we're getting a real strong handle in South America in a lot of ways, including the fact that we don't want their drugs. We don't want drugs coming into our country and using them.
What about beef prices?
Look, we're going to take care of our ranchers one way, though. We have two situations. The ranchers for 35 years have done very poorly, the cattle people. They've done very, very poorly, and now they're doing well, but the price is up. So what I can see happening is we're going to take some beef because I have to get the price down. I want to get most prices are down. If you look at energy and all the, I have things down, but beef is high, and the cattle ranches are doing good. They backed me from day one. What we're going to do is we're going to make sure that they don't get hurt, but we have to also make sure that I get the prices down. I want to get the prices down like I did with eggs, like I did with lots of others. We had a couple of them where when I first took over, eggs were double and quadruple what they were. That was Biden's fault. A lot of this is Biden's fault, too. And we're going to get the price of beef down, and I'm going to make sure the cattle ranchers don't get hurt.
It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Agriculture Today.
What the futures are telling us, and they're not showing any big surprises at the moment. We're in the midst of harvest, still waiting for these international issues to work out, and are really, in a lot of cases, putting farmers and landowners, crop share landowners, in a situation of making a choice to do they sell now or store for later.
That's Kansas State grain economist Dan O'Brien.
Many of them, especially perhaps if they're near a feedlot or they see some ethanol plant situation that's close to them, they may be in a better position to store and probably anticipate better basis bids, if not better futures down the way. And a last thing I'd say on this whole store now versus sell issue is we're not really pricing any spring or late winter volatility into these markets. You know, we're pretty flat really going forward. Just we basically show enough carry in these markets to reward some storage, but not outlandishly large notes or amounts there. So I guess I would try to be judicious in thinking about how to analyze the market to give a perspective on things. I think if we store right now, we're probably anticipating something, a different scenario than the markets are representing right now. They're just looking out to the future, what they have, and pricing it at cost pretty much. And really not accounting for late winter, early spring, planting time uncertainty or anything at all, really, for any crop risk out into next year. So it's, I wouldn't say it's speculation, but it's a very uncertain position, not settled. And I guess the best way to address it is it puts us in the position of accepting risk, both upside and downside out into 2026 to see a reward to storage. And, you know, oftentimes we are rewarded, but at this moment, right now, in midst of harvest, the futures cash markets probably aren't going to show it, would be my thought.
Every month, USDA releases a WASD report. That's the acronym for World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates Report. No report for October due to the shutdown. And what about the possibility of getting one for November?
Days go on. That's increasingly likely. You know, we're USDA NAS field enumerators would need to go out into the fields around November 1st, a few days ahead, a few days afterwards, much less any preparation for that. Any mail surveys to farmers would have to occur about that same time. So it seems to me like for the NAS crop production report that we're in the window. If we don't see something by the middle part of next week, then I'm not sure that NAS can pull enough resources together, can contact people quickly enough to actually have a crop report. And if they don't do that, that doesn't mean that we couldn't still have a WASD report, say that if come November 1st, the government shutdown is over with. But on that WASD report, you could find out about usage issues on the demand side, but the supply side would be just kind of a finger in the wind type of a deal in terms of trying to figure out what we can deduce for crop yields. So if we don't have the crop production report, then the value of the WASDE report that would follow on that's projected for November the 10th is dramatically reduced. I wonder if we're putting ourselves in a position where we have a December 9th WASDE report and the USDA actually goes out and does and measures around December 1st what's happening out in the fields, but they usually don't report it until January. So I would wonder if we skip both the October and the November crop production and WASDE reports, if we do something different just to get information out there for people and perhaps make the December 1st report operative in terms of including NAS data in it. We shall see.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
This would be a technique that's used for the largest states.
Tax law specialist Roger McCohen on intentionally defective grantor trust.
Those where you've got a potential estate tax problem and highly appreciating assets. So one of the things with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act is it keeps the exemption pretty high. It's going to keep it at $15 million. It's going to go up from $13.99 this year to $15 million per person next year. So for a married couple, that's $30 million in total wealth over both of their estates that escapes taxation at death, escapes federal estate tax. Now that amount's going to be indexed for inflation starting in 2027. So this is a technique that we would use in large estates where the family is also wanting to transition that farm and ranch land to subsequent generations, to the next generation, and then, you know, keep it in the family for subsequent generations. So we want to keep the appreciation out of the senior members of the family's estate. And we do that by having them pay the income tax on this. And it's an irrevocable transfer into the trust. So there's nothing there, if it's drafted correctly, to be taxed in the estate of the older generation at death. So it's got twin purposes, but not everybody's going to want to do this, just the very large estates. And had the OBA not been passed, that federal estate tax exemption would have gone to roughly $7 million next year. And that would have caught a lot of farming and ranching operations. And so this technique would have been much more popular. What I point out to people is this is an IRS administrative ruling. It's a chief counsel advice. This is not a federal court saying this. This is not the tax court saying this. But what it does is it gives us a window where we can look to see inside the IRS what their position is on this issue. And they're just kind of shooting up a warning flare saying, no, we think this triggers gift tax. And you better plan accordingly for this. So you might have to modify existing intentionally defective grantor trusts that have agricultural real estate in it and change the tax reimbursement clause in a manner that won't cause the IRS grief in accordance with their new position. I'm not sure you can do that. I don't know if you can turn off grantor trust status or not. Maybe you can, maybe you're not. Maybe you can't. But boy, I tell you, particularly in certain parts of Kansas, if we've got mineral rights, we've got oil and gas rights, that income generated by that land that's in the trust, where you have that associated income coming from those natural resource rights, can be a big deal. And some might say that the IRS has essentially foreclosed the ability to retroactively implement any type of relief here. So we're just going to have to see. My guess is if the new Treasury, what I mean is the new administration and their Treasury, doesn't change position on this, it's going to have to probably be sorted out in court.
And how the One Big Beautiful Bill affected this as well.
The One Big Beautiful Bill Act does make its provisions with respect to estate tax permanent. So we don't have a sunset on that. Now, of course, permanent in congressional lingo means until the next time that the Congress changes the law. But it will take an act of Congress to change, for example, the exemption levels or the rate of tax. Because what OBA did was simply take TCJA provisions and make them permanent. So we've got a permanent basic exclusion. We've got the increased exemption amount. We have an inflation adjustment, as I mentioned. So that's taken the urgency for a lot of farm and ranch families to make gifts before the end of 2025 off the table. We don't need to do that as part of an estate plan to minimize federal estate tax for most people.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.